Hey, everybody. I sure hope you're in the midst of just a great day. Of course, I know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who stay called according to His purpose, though, right? So I'm grateful to be part of a tribe who knows how to follow God through the bad seasons and see them turn into good seasons. And even a bad day, that we watch God turn into a good day because of who He is. And of course, COVID-19 caused us to have one of the most unique seasons that we've ever had as pastors, right? And today, when I say I'm excited, there's no hyperbole in this, but the next two sessions, we're going to be talking about gathering our people. And today we're going to see that it's bigger than COVID. We're going to share some stats and some studies that have been done by the Barna Group and faith communities today. They're going to help us see the challenge before us really, really clearly. And then, like I said, I really believe in our tribe. And I believe this is a tribe that whenever we see it clearly, we know how to hear from God and watch God do some amazing things. We're called overcomers in Scripture, right? And to be an overcomer, you got to overcome some things. And this has given us a great opportunity to lead our congregation in the spirit that overcomers live with. And today I have one of my favorite overcomers who's with me on the broadcast, and that's Pastor Mark Harrell. And I've watched him in the midst of COVID. He's been a real example to me. So he's going to share these two broadcasts with us. And honestly, I've watched him in other things. Mark fought a significant health issue some years back. Never heard him complain. Always saw him respond with joy and just watch God work in his life. So Pastor Mark, so good to have you with us.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. You know, you pastor in Somerset, Kentucky, and Somerset is a little under 11,000 people. And I've always been blessed when I come to Somerset, and I'm going to put it in one word. It's the word connectedness, that the connectedness of your people has always inspired me. And the connectedness of pastors in your region has always inspired me when I've come to be with you. And so when the pandemic hit, I knew at Faith Family Church we were going to do pretty well on the broadcast side, because we have oil field workers and we have plant workers. And so to keep our families all growing together, it was really important that we had, you know, webcasting and that kind of thing early. So when the pandemic hit, we were sitting on ready. But in terms of groups and teams, we were a bigger church, and that can be challenging to keep the connectedness and to reach out to everybody. And your church really helped me. I have to admit, when I got done listening to you, I felt like you did a better job than I did, and which is positive, because I had a number of things that I could come into my staff and I could learn. But more than anything, I think I just loved the togetherness that I sensed. And I think that for a lot of us, we can find our church on the continuum. I mean, a lot of churches have shut down amidst COVID.
Yeah.
And we may have guys today who that's the reality that happened to you. And I just want to encourage you, that doesn't mean you're a bad pastor. It just means that the team that you were leading at that time maybe wasn't prepared and you didn't know what to do. And, you know, God may really be able to use the Easter season to help you relaunch your church.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah, I heard the other day, Mark, that about 80% are back across the board. But I'm going to share some stats that show that even though 80% are back, if we go back to 2000, there's been a scattering of the church here for a little while. And that the scattering issue is a little bigger than just the COVID issue is. So in our church, you know, we're just like everybody else. You know, we remember when maybe 40% of the people came back, and then maybe 60% of the people were back, and thank God now it's higher. But that whole connectedness thing is not it's not an easy battle to fight in today's society.
No.
And I just admire so much pastors and the love that they have for people and how they're battling that every day. So Mark, give us a little intro of what we're going to talk about today.
Sure, Jim. I've put together 8 points that kind of one goes to the next that I've used here. Victory, encourage other pastors, a lot of my friends to kind of follow this. It's not a perfect plan, but it's really helped us. And we really have a momentum growing right now here in church. Every Sunday people are getting saved, new people, new families visiting, whether they stick or not, they're here. And then a lot of them do. So, I want to hear from pastors that they're getting that momentum going back. People are looking for something real, not just because of COVID, but wars and rumors of wars and all the things that are going on around the world. And there's a lot going on. And I think the church should be the safest place for people to gather, for the body of Christ to gather.
That's really good. Yeah, that's good. I didn't mean to cut you off there early, but
no.
One of your points is going to be about that. And the church has so much to say in the day that we're living in right now. We just have a lot to say that people need to hear.
Sure.
So forget about numbers and all that. And I
mean,
we're just coming on the back end of the third bigger wave. So for us, we had a goal to get back to 90%, you know. And the thing I want to say is we're grateful that our giving units, and this is true for a lot of churches, but our giving is actually ahead of where it was in 2019. You know, 2020, we got hit a little bit, but we're ahead of 2019. Our volunteers, about 84% of our volunteers stayed engaged. And in the second broadcast, there's some research that's been done about what they call the 5% church. And those are churches running more than they did whenever COVID even hit. And some of that might just be that it was a young church, to be honest with you. And if you're a younger church, there are times that we would have done that too. But there's also some things I think we can learn. And Mark, it sounds like, you know, your church is back at a pretty healthy place right now in terms of just numbers. And
we are. We're probably back to about the numbers we had prior to COVID, but we don't have all our people back, but we have so many new people. And in fact, we've been saying some of the ones that haven't made it back in yet, when they come, they're not going to recognize the church, and that's okay. They'll have some catching up to do, but they're going to make it back eventually.
That is so good. Well, I can't wait to get into it today. Before we do, I want to welcome some new members to Significant Church like we always do. And I want to welcome Pastor Alfonso Antiland from Majesty Worship Center, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Pastor Perry Blankenship from Fincastle Lane First Church of God in Bluefield, Virginia. Pastor Andrew Craig from Church for You in Elizabeth, Australia. Pastor Ken Fontenot from Bethel Baptist Church in Wilson, North Carolina. Pastor John Gutierrez from First Assembly of God in Horatio, Arkansas. Pastor Robert Miller from Restored Passion for God Ministries in Richmond, Texas, just up the road here. Pastor John Monteith from Ignite Church of Rock Hill, South Carolina. Pastor Morris Mott, who I saw him on the chat. So Pastor Morris, hi to you. We're glad you're joining us today. He's from Christ Church in Plainfield, Indiana. Pastor Gil Palmer from First Baptist Church in Lockport, Illinois. Pastor Jeff Parrott from Acts in Motion Christian Church, York, South Carolina. Pastor Chase Parsons from Inner City Church, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Pastor Eric Pennington, New Hope Outreach Center, Harrisonburg, Virginia. Pastor Cole Phillips, The Gate Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Pastor Jesse Rowe, River of Life Church in Annandale, Minnesota. Pastor Isaiah Sanchez, Lord of the Harvest Church in Corpus Christi, just down the road. Pastor Juno Smalley from New Life Community Church in Artesia, California. Pastor Handel Smith from Celebration Church in Anderson, Indiana. And Pastor James Terry from Calvary Pentecostal Church of Jesus Christ in Lockport, Illinois. So we're glad you guys are on here. And like my good friend Gary Hart said on the chat, we're having lunch together. We encourage you to bring your lunch, and we'll always bring you guests that we guarantee you'd enjoy having lunch with this guest and hear what they have to say. You know, Mark, there's a group called Faith Community Today, and it's an esteemed research organization, and they track in-person attendance at American church services. And this shocked me when I started doing research on how much COVID has scattered the church. Their stats made this point that it's really not a COVID challenge, it's a bigger challenge than even just COVID. And they said that the mean attendance of the 350,000 Protestant churches in America in the year 2000, the mean attendance would have been 137 people. So that means if you listed all 350,000 churches and you went to 175,000, that church would have been at 137. Then in 2010, it slipped the whole way down to 65. So the bigger scattering really happened from 2000 to 2010. And we didn't see that because we were in the midst of an oil boom down here. And I can see some of the factors and realities they're talking about. Of course, denominational churches are sometimes different than non-denominational churches. Everybody's leadership challenge is a little bit different. But then COVID, they said, took it from 65 down to 55, according to the research that they've done. So this is a big issue when we talk about helping people return to in-person services. And it's bigger than COVID. It's really about helping scattered people connect. So how can we help those people? Let's go ahead and start through your 8 points.
Sure. Well, number one, I encourage any pastor, or major leader, anyone listening, you've got to examine your motivation first. You've got to look at yourself. You know, when the shutdown happened, which who would have thought all of us would have to close our churches, really kind of like a mandate for safety's sake, and we all did across the nation. We did it really the minimal time. It was probably about 2.5 months that we stayed shut down. And I think a lot of pastors, they really struggled with their identity, what to do, began really looking at methods quickly. And the Lord really challenged me, get up early and just seek Him. So I did, Jim, and I'm a morning person, but I'm not normally a 3:30 in the morning person, but I became one. And it was just to worship, to be still before the Lord, not really even come up with strategy, but just deal with me, because people receive from your spirit first before they receive your words, your truth, or your direction. So if my spirit is not at rest, if my spirit had not been fellowshipping with the Lord, then I'm going to come across cocky or demanding or fearful or political or something of that nature. And I think a lot of ministers did that because they really weren't nurturing their walk first. They were trying to get the method. Who wouldn't want all their people back? All of us would want their people back. But I think returning, and I did this in my mind, it needs to be looked at, first of all, as a hybrid fashion. You know, in Acts chapter 2, they met house to house. And a lot of my people were doing that. They get with another friend or two, maybe to watch the service or to fellowship or eat, but they had caution, or maybe they even had fear to return to public gatherings because of just the whole situation with COVID. But if they were meeting, I took that as a win. Now, they weren't in the service yet, but I celebrated what they were doing, house to house, breaking bread, reading scriptures, and of course, going to the temple or coming back to the house of God. And I think the behavior of attendance has changed drastically. You know, growing up, Jim, I think maybe you've heard me say this. My dad was not a very religious man. He got saved, thank the Lord, and then with the outpouring of God's Spirit, really made a deep commitment to God. But when I was little, you know, we had farm. He had a lot of different businesses. He was a busy man. But on Sunday, you went to church. I mean, that's just how it was. No excuse. And if I'd say, Dad, I'm sick, he'd say, prove it, throw up. You know? So you throw up. You throw up, and he says, great. Now, don't you feel better? Let's go to church. And so that was more of the mentality back in the 60s, even the early 70s, that, you know, Sunday was a day set apart for the Lord. And I think that was even the formation of my heart and call in the ministry, because it really was not just a habit out of having to do it, but it was a habit out of wanting to do it and knowing how vital it was. But for so many people now, you know, attendance, even some of your most committed people, there's too many options in people's lives. You know, and this is an adjustment.
Yeah,
it's an adjustment in our minds.
Yeah, the thing that you said early really spoke to me, because the thing I constantly want to work on is, like in prayer, if something's in my hands, it's not in God's. So commit something to God in prayer, it's work. It's really work to come to that point of peace. Or if you're so right that what people felt was more important than anything that we'd say on Sunday. Yeah. And it still is, to be honest with you, it still is.
Yes.
I've got something, I butted in a little bit, because I've got something on what you just said that, you know, I love data. And because what happens to me is I'm a pastor, and so a lot of times I'll get emotionally driven, and it helps me to get some healthy data to understand things a little bit deeper. And I'm going to put a chart up. It's on how Americans relate to Christianity, because you were just hitting that.
Okay.
And it talks about how it changed from 2000 to 2020. And this kind of goes with what I said about faith communities today, that the red line represents practicing Christians. And practicing Christians the last 20 years has gone from 45% to 25%. Now, some of that's because of the generational changes, that the silent generation worshiped like your father that you just described, and you and I worshiped like we did. And then we got, you know, millennials coming up who are learning what it means to practice their faith. So where did that 20% go? Well, the kind of teal line represents non-practicing Christians. So they say, I'm a Christian, I'm just not as into it as I used to be. And that line has gone from 35 to 43%. So 8% of them went there. But this is kind of shocking. And this is a Barna State of the Church stat, that non-Christians went from 20 to 32% among us. So just, I know that it hit denominational churches harder than it hit mine, to be honest. But it's a reality. And I think sometimes as pastors, when you talk about our motivation, I think we just have to make sure we're real, that sometimes say, oh, it's just select sports, all good people are coming less. But but the truth is, in your relationship with God, you have to be rooted in Him for to have the fruit. And I do think there's an aspect where, and this is just my beliefs, you don't have to come along with me with this, but I really believe what happened was we got so impressed with ourselves as the attractional church that some of the discipline slipped. And some of the hunger for the presence of God slipped. And what we as pastors have to do to help people come back is do what you're talking about, is it doesn't start with numbers and it doesn't start with programs. Yeah. It starts with hearts and how they're rooted in God's presence. And for us, they need to see what a value that is in our life, which is what you're talking about. You say, I'm getting up at 3 a.m. And for some of us that have kind of passionate personalities, if we're not careful, it's really important that the Lord's out front, not our personality right now.
That's good. That is so true, Jim. And really, some of my sweetest times with the Lord have been through COVID, where I wasn't making COVID the issue. I was making myself the issue and just wanting to really go deeper in the Lord. Nothing goofy, just enjoying Him and worship and reading the Word slowly. I like to read the Word slowly until I hear my own voice. I hope that makes sense. So when I'm reading something or reading the story, so suddenly it becomes like my story. It's just like the words lift off the page.
That's good.
And the more I would do that, the more I would just enjoy the Lord and through that come out of that time and then have some direction or maybe some strategy that would come forth. You know, so many pastors did not do well, as we all know and you've talked about. They looked at the mechanics first and wanting to get their validation, like you said, from the crowd or the congregation. And our validation comes from the Lord, not from people.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, I know, and I'll just share this, other people might be different, but I read for an hour every morning. And I only read a few chapters, but I'm doing the same thing. As I've read the Bible through 40 some times, so I pretty well know the story when I'm getting ready to read it. But I'm just looking for a little something from the story I've never seen before. That causes my heart to start having Jesus talk to me. And then we're so blessed. We've got commentaries. We've got everything in the world right here in our phones. So we can just have fellowship with John Wesley and have fellowship with all kind of people while we're sitting there reading God's Word. And then I have another hour that I take and I pray before I come into the office. And it just roots your spirit differently than if you don't do that. And for some people, you may not need that long. But that's, I agree with that approach of letting it sink in. And then, Mark, the second thing, after you have yourself ready.
Then focus, that depends on your church size. If you have a staff, focus on them or key team players or leaders, whoever the key players that carry the vision of the church. That focus is for unity of spirit, okay? Not just strategy, not just what are we going to do, but unity of spirit, one accord in direction of the spirit. I cannot overemphasize that. For us, our staff, or we just call them team meetings, family meetings, they became very long, not because of going over details, just challenging each other in our personal walk with the Lord and for all of us to be one and how are we nurturing that atmosphere? They became fun, a lot of prayer, laughter, worship together, because we had to be one. If we weren't one and different ones had fears, apprehension, or different vision, then you have division. And if you have division and the people coming in the church and this leader is not in the same sync with everyone else, and they're talking about a fear, they're talking about a this, well, I don't know how this is going to work, whatever, you're not going to communicate confidence to the ones that are reentering. So I made, you know, our staff time and just individual time with them very, very important, extremely important. People don't want to reenter if the key players are not all together. So it was critical that the joy of the Lord was our strength and this and that. And, you know, we all did different things, you know, where we would wear a mask in the foyer, or do, you know, all the stuff that we did to try to keep an atmosphere that was safe. But I'm so grateful. Even some of my staff members that had some compromised health issues, they were 100% on board. And even some of my staff had COVID. Even through that, they were 100% on board. And as they recovered, they weren't bound by fear of this, because we were constantly feeding each other's spirit that they're going to make this and we're going to help everybody else make it. We were all scrambling at first, Jim. We were behind the eight ball, of course, with our technology. And, you know, ours was basically, an iPhone at first. But God is so good. And the young man helping me right now, setting all this up today, the Lord brought him here from California because he was in love with one of our young ladies.
Yay.
And I had the privilege. Yeah, that worked. And I had the privilege of performing their wedding ceremony last year. And he had worked with all this. He knew this. And he jumped in. And the whole team did. We all trying to figure out what we can do so that, you know, when you present something, if it doesn't hold your attention, you're not going to watch it. So we had to increase our capacity to reach more, new equipment, expanded equipment, all that type of stuff, learning how to use new things. I preach with a screen by me in the scripture so that I can control all that. And it just became fun because, number one, you spend a lot of time with the Lord. You're well. You're key team players, you're all one. Don't assume that they are. You really have to become one. And through that, then you begin working on some of the mechanics. First Chronicles 12:32, from Issachar, men who understood the times, and they knew what Israel was to do. So we had to know what we're going to do. But don't get the cart in front of the horse. We're in a spiritual occupation, if I can use that word, calling. And we have to be well. The team players have to be well.
Yeah, you know, you said a phrase in there that I saw you look down. You wanted to get it right, and it was a great phrase. And that is, people won't reenter if the staff isn't together. And
yes.
The reality is strategy is really important. But good strategy does come to a point of unity. And sometimes
yes.
There were so many aspects of this, it was hard to get strategy and unity together. So as we're heading towards Easter, just encourage everybody in that. Check your motivation and
yes.
Then make sure you're given enough time for your staff that you're not issuing directives, but you're coming to a point of unity. And I know for us, there's a couple times that I could have done that better in the life of our church. We did a Saturday night, I think it was 2017, that we launched a Saturday night. And the reason I was motivated to do it was really good, and that is that 30% of people work on Sunday morning. Of course, we already have a Wednesday night, so it does give people another option. But my staff, they love God, and they came with me. And we did Saturday nights until COVID. But we never got that service more than about 10 to 15% of our overall attendance numbers. And there were some people saved, but not a ton of people saved. Mm-hmm. So the service didn't even compete well against our own other two Sunday morning services. And but the bottom line of it all, if Tamara would say, make sure you share that your wife really wants you to close it down. That's a big one right there. but the other thing
that's
is
great.
You could just see the staff was getting tired. And what you were asking of them, as strategic as it might have been, wasn't right. So when this all happened and we all had more demands, it was the first thing to go, but it's not coming back. because this you could prove it strategically, but from a point of unity, it wouldn't be healthy in our church. Now, there are places it would be, you know, where the percentages would be higher. So please, if your pastor is doing different than me, it doesn't mean anybody's right or wrong, but good communication so that there's good strategy and good unity. That is so important. Then what's the third thing, Mark?
Explore new ways and means to minister to the congregation. New ways and means. And all of these will equate to reentry at different points, different seasons, different times in the life of the church with all the individuals. You know, your ultimate pleasure would be to have every back in person. Come on. I mean, self-included. That would be awesome. But in the process, and we're all still in the process, no one is to be left out. Or let me put it this way, no one is to feel left out. And so that's going to require lots of effort on the lead pastor or the staff, the team, the volunteers, however that's going to work in each setting. Feelings have a big thing to do with all these people, all of our lives, self-included, over the last couple of years. Hebrews 10:25, not giving up meeting together, as is the habit of some are doing, but encouraging one another. This is what we have to do during COVID, world crisis, encouraging one another. And to do that doesn't mean they're all going to be sitting in the living room of our church. So how do we encourage one another, especially those that are dealing with health issues, cautiousness, or fear? So that takes a lot of work, a lot of insight from the Lord. You know, you've got to think, okay, are the people healthy? I mean, really healthy. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. If they have not reentered, you have to look at each family or each person and examine, is it caution or is it fear? And that might take a little bit of investigation into their life and conversations with them. So create new ways to minister to those who have not reentered. And it's called work. Phone calls, text messages, emails, all the social media things that you've done, we're doing, we've expanded in our own ways, providing things for children online, providing things for families online, a lot of extra work. But if you're showing people you really care about them first, then you're gaining their confidence that you truly are concerned for their particular need. How about a good old home visit, Brother Jim? You know, that's easier maybe for a certain size church or certain personalities are really good at that. I enjoyed that during COVID. We put out a devotional every 3 months. I brought one just to show you. And every 3 months, it's a new one, just a kind of a daily devotion. Takes about 2 minutes to read. They're very good. And we would just put them out and people pick them up at church service. Well, everybody wasn't coming back. Okay, here's an opportunity.
That's
we
good.
Can mail them to people, or I can go around, or different pastors can go around, and we can deliver them to the homes. So I did that. I would go around. I mean, I would spend hours going, especially the elderly or widows, and it would give me an opportunity to look at them eye to eye. And you're trying to figure out, what do they want? Some desperately wanted a hug, Jim. They wanted a hug. Some wanted the 6 feet. Some 6 yards, a few of them 6 miles. I mean, you're just trying to figure out what each person wants, but you're validating them and you're not telling them, you got to come to what I want. You're saying, I'm coming to you and I'm meeting you right where you're at right now.
That's good.
And I want to bring confidence to you that you are loved and I care for you. We all care for you and we want you healthy. We want you to feel safe. And so we tried to get that communication across first. I would bring CDs, you know, that we talked about it. People didn't have technology. I either would bring it to them personally or we would mail it to them, you know, because we have people coming from different counties like you do, and just make sure they're able to stay in tune, stay connected with what we were teaching and sharing. You know, James 1, religion that our God and Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows. So that just came alive to me so much. We have 30 widows in the church, and so I took it on personally to check on them, care for them. I did stuff that I've never done before, Jim. I me and another man in church, we rebuilt a whole deck on the back of a house for one widow. I'm talking about me, okay? But she needed it done.
She might have fallen if I built it.
Well, she was about to fall if we didn't build it. That was the thing. And she, you know, she said, look, I want all the material. And I said, let me come do this. She didn't even want me to do it. I said, I want to come do it. And you know what that does? That just endears your heart to them and them to you. And, oh, yeah, it's a lot of work, but COVID has caused a lot of work. We all did creative things. We did a couple of parking lot services. Our first Easter parking lot service, it was a hoot, Jim, because the weather was so iffy. We set everything up, and it was a big to-do with the speakers up on these huge lifts and so forth. And an hour before the service, it starts pouring. So we're bringing everything in, and we're gonna do a live service. Then it cleared up, and we put everything back out. We're laughing. People came up. They drove up. They're honking their horns. And, you know, it was great. Just creativity. You know, at the last conference a month ago, and I encourage anyone who's never been to the National Conference, if you can come, please do. But I'm trying to go around and meet people, and I wanted to meet the cowboy. You know who I'm talking about. I mean, he had the cowboy hat, the boots, the belt buckle, and I thought, he has a story. And I believe he was from, is it Paradise, Texas? Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, Paradise.
Okay, Paradise. So we talked, and it's a small community, okay? Real small community. And he says a lot of the students go to school on their horse. They parked their horse outside. And so with COVID, he would preach from his horse. He showed me pictures. He's on his horse in his front yard. He had a big yard, and people would drive up. Why? Because it relates to the people. They're able to connect. And I just commended him for that. I thought it was great. How about learning to shepherd people now digitally and online? My goodness, connecting with them. We do shout outs every Sunday to people that have moved from here, living in different states, that are watching, or new people that are watching. We even have some groups now, Jim, people that have moved, that they're bringing people into their home. And it's a cell group. It's a life group watching us live every Sunday. So we've actually been sending some of our people to go visit them from time to time, just connecting, just letting them know that there are different means and ways to connect. We've all had to learn how to have digital electronic relationships with people. And that's very different from me, because I like looking, seeing, touching, knowing you're right there. COVID is bad, but the flip side is those who took advantage of this, their reach has expanded, and our reach has expanded as well. Celebrate people and any milestone with them, if in person, or if they've not come back yet and you're staying in touch with them, celebrate things in their life. Let that be a point of engagement and bringing them back into the life of the church. You know, something of significance that's happened, congratulate them. Here's the question with this third point. Is it in-person attendance or engagement? That's a big deal. In-person attendance with them sitting in the seat or the pews, our engagement. How do we engage with the in-person person, the new people that are coming that even weren't a part of our congregation before COVID, with those who have health concerns, and for those that are bound by fear, how do we bring engagement? And what about mission? Not our method. You know, our mission stays the same, but methods have to change. Don't cry over all the spilt milk. The last 2 years, they've been hard on everyone. But every industry, I don't care what it is, has had to change. It's had to morph. And if we're not flexible in learning how to bring engagement, not just attendance, but engagement back in, you could be discouraged or disappointed or not know how to celebrate something. Got to be flexible. Blessed are the flexible, because they will be flexed. Uh-huh. And that's a good place to be. So to minister to the congregation, I realized I had to be adaptable and I had to be considerate, adaptable and considerate. So they knew I cared for them in their situation. Last statement on this point, never make someone who's not reentered feel penalized or marginalized. Don't do that. Even the ones that are just bound by fear, you got to love them. Maybe at some point you just got to, back off some. But I think most anyone who's trying to do their best, that would be a small number at this point. But all kind of different ways to bring people in person or back into engagement in the church.
Yeah, when I was listening to you, Mark, it just really, the thing that I think for most of us in smaller counties, we're trying to create in-person connection with people. And so The challenge is more on the technology side. We were probably a little bit unusual in that regard, in that we'd been on ABC for 20 some years and we had the technology side pretty strong within the life of our church. But this is really true that I've talked to people who are in big cities and they have, strong media ministries, and they might only be 65% back right now. Really, if I said the name, you'd know the great church. But their attitude is, I'm forgetting about all this, and we're just getting back to doing what we do, and we're going to bring it back. And the difference in that versus what you just described is, it's a big difference where you're going by the home of 30 widows and which is one of the reasons I called you, by the way. The reality is that everybody has a dynamic as a pastor, and that dynamic is, I only have so much time. So how good your leaders ended up reaching out and doing things like that was critical. And I'm sure for a lot of us, it was hit and miss. Some leaders just inspired us and did amazing. Other leaders dealt with issues in their own life that they didn't really like to be around people, and they didn't know how to use technology, and maybe their teams didn't function as good as maybe they could have. So I just want to encourage people that on the technology relational continuum, wherever you are, I don't think one is always better than the other, because people get helped a lot of ways. But I think it is important that you can identify what your vein is and that you execute that vein that you're called to really well. And obviously it has to be personal, right? It has to be something that there's a connection through it. But I wanted to share this because this has helped me at different times. This book helped me whenever we started in 1990. And our goal was, we wanted to have a church that the people we grew up with wanted to come to. And we knew that 1 in 6 people of our generation were walking away from church. So boomers served God less than the silent generation did. And Tamara and I wanted to have a church that made a difference in that regard. And these are the 8 things that I found in a book. It's called Natural Church Development, A Guide to 8 Essential Qualities of Healthy Churches. And I love this book, and I use it anytime I'm going through a little bit of a struggle, because all 8 of these things are playing out as we're trying to connect people. And I'm going to put them up on the screen so you can just see them. But inspiring worship services, empowering leadership, passionate spirituality, loving relationships, functional structures, holistic small groups, gift-based leadership, and need-oriented evangelism. I think that might should be gift-based ministry, not leadership. That's a typo on my end. But, we had to keep our services strong. We had to be leaders that empowered people. And I can say that really the reason that my church is stronger than maybe one down the road is just the passionate spirituality of my people. It's nothing really that I did. So I just thanked my people for that the other day. I just thanked them that, man, our giving's ahead of 2019, and 84% of you served. And that doesn't mean the other 16 should have served. I'm just saying that from a national perspective, you guys did awesome. And my leadership, it just was what it was. Some of it was good. Some of it could have been better. But the reality that you as a church serve like that is something really worth celebrating. But it helps me to think through that, because even in our church, some departments had good functional structures. Other departments didn't have good functional structures. Yeah. Some of my pastors are better at just loving relationships, not as good at structure. Some are better at structure. And that's where that your first point really came in, Mark, where having meetings where we're in unity and we're not competing against each other and all that kind of stuff really plays out big. But I love this illustration. I'm going to take it back to Mark and that book that they use. They say that it's almost like you have this barrel that has 8 slats. And if one of those things isn't working, if you're having inspiring worship services, but you have bad structures, people aren't being loved like they should be. They said that the amount of people that come into your church will spill over because any one of those things. And that's definitely been a challenge to me throughout the years. So that was good. That really helped me about exploring new ways and means to minister, because there are lots of ways that are so important.
Mark, so many different ways.
Yeah. What's the fourth thing?
Number four, content has to change in your sermons, your messages. The message is still the same, okay? Life-changing power of the gospel, but current content, you know, over the last couple of years had to be more very relatable to where people were at the time. Couldn't just get up and pull out a message you spoke 10 years prior and get up and just speak that, because people were coming in with different needs, different, you know, hopes that they were going to get from being connected with the body of Christ. So we expanded our footprint in understanding what people were going through. So all through 2020, we, you know, almost every message would kind of be an independent message, just trying to really deal a lot with the heart, the emotion, family, life, how to handle things, bring Lord in the center of COVID right now. Then in 2021, the whole year, we talked about back to basics, just looking at reinforcing every area of foundation in our life, just establishing sure foundation. You were congratulating your people for their spiritual walk and how they've done. Well, that's what we were trying to do last year, is just reinforce that, strengthen that, you know, where there were any holes, plug it. But this year, the whole theme is forward in faith. Okay, it's time to go forward. What steps, what can you do as a person or an individual? So, you know, your content, the message is the same, but the content, it's going to take a lot more time to develop, being very relatable in the hour where we are. But it's a lot of fun when people come in and know that they're going to leave with something that they can use that day, that week, with their life in the current world where they live.
Yeah. And we have a real similar mantra per se that you guys have. Ours is build better than ever. So, yeah. You know, here we go. Let's enjoy the church, what we've enjoyed about our church, and let's enjoy it more than we ever have. The things that we've done, let's just try to do them better than ever, because society needs to see people that say life's going to be better than ever, regardless of what we face. So I think that's just awesome. And I that point I couldn't wait to hear, because, you know, when we started, you know, our non-denominational churches, we'd laugh and say, you know, everything around the church can't change and the church stay the same. But then about 20 years into it, I looked at myself and I thought, everything around my church has changed and I'm still the same. I need to work on that. So I love that point. And I love number five, too. Let's go into number five.
Okay. For reentry, communicate. And when you finish, communicate. What can you share in-house and online that give people confidence to reenter? You got to do that. Use every platform and social media. We would constantly communicate, even putting up in our lower thirds, if we were live streaming, what we were doing to keep the building clean. You know, we clean everything, every chair, every door, the atmosphere, the air. Just we're thinking of their safety and so forth. What are you doing for the nursery and children and teens? Because we didn't open all of that up initially. So my wife and a team would put together packets for the children that, you know, their lessons were individual and packets with colors and things to do in service so that the children could feel a part, because those things didn't open up immediately. You know, then the children's ministry would open, nursery would open. So we would try to provide that, as well as even things online. I think all of us are past having to do that at this point. We still do this, Jim. We dismiss in two groups at the end of service. We dismiss first those that have concern, health concerns or social distancing concerns, or maybe they're going to go visit a loved one who has health concerns. And so we let that group leave first. It's maybe now it's maybe 3 or 4% of the congregation, but we let them leave. And when they would say, okay, everybody, we're dismissed, and they hang around, we talk, it's a blast. But we want everyone to know we are concerned for them. When we would open up another area of ministry or something new that we've created, we would be sure to communicate. Social media, you know, emails, text messages, we were now offering this. When we started a food ministry where it was delivery or you pick it up, we communicated that, and it's a blast. That'll happen this Saturday, and they'll be delivering food all over to different shut-ins and those that are poor in the community. Our different ones will drive by and pick it up. This is a big thing here. If something happens in someone's life that's a home run, celebrate that immensely. If someone re-enters, follow up with that person. I'll give you an example. A few weeks ago, a precious family that's been with us for years, they've really had health issues. The wife has a crippling disease. It's just horrible. We're praying for her healing. For her to function, she takes chemo. And when she takes chemo, she's better for a while, then has to go through that whole dynamic again. The husband has had back surgery, and they're not elderly, but they're in their early 60s. And so they have had health concerns, so they've not really been in church. Now he's doing well, and you know, I stay in touch with him and both of them texting. Well, lo and behold, 2 weeks ago, they were here on a Sunday morning, so excited to be here. You could tell she was struggling physically, but had a blast and seeing people and connecting. And he called me the next day. He said, "Mark, when I was going down the steps, I saw someone in front of me. And I thought, well, that looks like," and he said the man's name. And then he turned around, and it was. And he ran up to him. They started talking. That was that man's first time to church here. Someone had invited him, and this man knew him. And so they just stood there and talked probably for about an hour. And he called and told me about it. I said, "Paul, do you see how important you are in reentering the body of Christ?" He said, "Oh, Brother Mark," he said, "yes." Good. He said, "I had some health issues," but he says, "I just got lazy." And he says, "It's not the same watching it online, and y'all do a great job, but it's not the same. You're not with the people." I said, "Exactly." I said, "I don't know that man. You do. Will you follow up with him for me and let me know how that goes?" And so we're staying in touch over that. This past Sunday, one of our widows was back in, just had a blast, and she's in one of our small groups that's been meeting with a few of the other widows. And I said to her, "Man, it's so good to see you." And her son-in-law is over the health department here. And, you know, I'm sure he's been trying to keep her shut down, just all the COVID stuff. And she was smiling. And I said, "Would you let all your girlfriends, all the ladies you meet with, let them know about today and just, you know, what you received? Just kind of tell them what God did for you today." So I use those opportunities for those people who are reentering, made some type of connection. "Will you help me reach out to someone you know who's being fearful or who's just gotten lazy? And let's try to reach them." So that's an important thing. Celebrate that. Small groups or life groups, campus groups. We started doing activities outside, the teens meeting outside, setting up volleyball and all this type of stuff. So it was outside. We did a big fellowship of food outside. And anything you can do that's something new and creative, where they're receiving from a group, I would do that. But communicate, and when you finish, communicate again.
So, Mark, as we head into Easter, what are you communicating? What are you saying to people? Because we're just, I mean, this is a big, one reason we did this is it's a big opportunity to regather. Easter
is
coming
is.
Up. Yeah, what are you saying?
Well, what we do at Easter, I know for a lot of ministers, it's their opportunity to really do the fishing, and I love that, and I appreciate that, and I respect that. I look at Easter as an opportunity for the whole body to do fishing. So we do an in-house drama that's written by our people that includes children, it includes singing, it includes acting, it includes choir at different parts, because when you have people involved, you have children involved, they invite family, uncles, aunts, grandparents, and they come. So they know that they are the fishermen for Easter. And then I'll get up at the end and, you know, minister just a little bit based on the whole drama. But we're communicating that, and they're working on all of it now. And I'm just letting them have a blast. They're meeting on Sundays and this, that, and the other. So the whole church is a part of the Easter service. We'll make the Sunday before Palm Sunday fun. We'll have communion and really highlight the work of the Lord. And I kind of take that serious is my message for Easter, and then let the whole church participate on Easter itself.
Yeah, next week we're going to be together again, and I'm going to share. It sounds like Mark's church is real close to being one of those, but what the top 5% have done, just six areas of focus that they've had that have helped them. And I think it's going to help us going into Easter, because there are things that we're doing, and we have, you know, thoughts inside. We're instinctually, and by gift, we're leaders. But sometimes just to be able to hang your thoughts on something and say, okay, am I doing well at this one thing? I look forward to that. I know for our church that we're still 25%. Well, we've been anywhere from 40% on campus and 60% online in the early days of reopening to where we're now. I'd say last Sunday we were probably 80% in house, awesome, which was 90% of our pre-COVID attendance, but we were still 20% online. So you can make a case that we've grown. I don't know if we've grown or not, to be honest with you, but I know that I'm grateful for what our people have done. Mark, I love this next point. I love point six.
Okay. And it's real quick. Stay focused down the middle of the road. Never let a service or message be about liberal media or their agenda. I do encourage people to be careful how much news they watch. If you're watching more news than your time with the Lord, you're out of balance. And, you know, be very careful, you know, as a minister, that you're not getting up with an agenda when you speak. I never let people polarize me on one side or the other about the vaccine or mask or political issues. Encourage the congregation to pray and then obey what they're supposed to do. But don't use your authority to push your opinion about all of that stuff. I wouldn't address it. I just encourage people to pray. 1 Corinthians 8:9, be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. And so we can use our leverage in a wrong way, or we can use our leverage to just keep pointing people to Jesus and stay down the middle of the road.
Yeah, you know, the truth is, I understand it. Like, I understand why small business guys feel like, man, it's been tough economically. I understand why people with health challenges think, man, I wish people would be more considerate of how my health could be affected by how you're living. I understand people who feel like our Constitution, you know, or our freedoms being threatened right now. I understand all three of those camps. But I think that the big issue of this is that whenever I'm in pain, I'm real narcissistic. I don't know about you, which means if I'm hurting, you know, I don't see everybody else's point of view very well. And right now, people are being affected, and it just causes them naturally to be short-sighted. Doesn't mean they're bad. It just makes us naturally short-sighted. And when we stay in the middle of the road and people see us love everybody like what you're talking about, it helps families in our church. It helps our community at large. Mark number seven.
Number seven, real quick on this one, know the heartbeat of your city and region. So that takes you being involved in your community, know what's going on. If I don't know the audience, then routine, rhetoric, religious preference will just set in, and that's not going to influence your region. So know your region, know the people, know what they're dealing with, and be authentic, be real, be sincere, care about their world. Care about them. When Jesus walked the earth, they marveled at his authority and the grace in which he spoke. Power and graciousness. The power of God through the authentic word of God coming forth, and graciousness. It's not all fancy lights and, you know, how cool you can dress. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not what attracts people. That's not what's going to cause people to reenter. It's by you knowing the region, knowing the city, being concerned for the things that they are in. It's not a moment to belittle anyway. If you speak to the fool and the kid, you get the fool. But if you speak to the king and the kid, you draw out the king.
That's good.
And so that's what you want to do. You want to speak to the king and the people and draw that out so that when they leave, man, they've got something of content and value to go out into their world.
That's really good.
Lean on Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will help you on that.
He can. And I'll tell you, when I was like everybody else, when this whole thing hit, I never listened to so many podcasts and webcasts in all my life when COVID hit. All of us did that as pastors. And who wouldn't respect Andy Stanley, right? I mean, Andy Stanley's Andy Stanley. And he said something I quoted, and I think it's great. He said, we want to be known for what we've done for our community, not what we've done to our community. For him, that meant not regathering. But in Texas, if I had taken that stance, people would have just gone to another church. So it would have been would have been not good for me. So I think that's what you're saying is it's so important we know the heartbeat. Or Rick Warren, he didn't regather right away. And I heard him say, well, I've got more people in small groups than I have in the weekends, so we're doing just fine. But he's got equipment and video, and he's showing his sermon in these small groups. I couldn't organize the structure to do that quick enough. So we really do have to know our people and our situation. If not, we're going to make some bad decisions. Okay, Mark, here we go. Right. What's the last one?
Last one, it all goes back to your current prophetic vision. Where there's no vision, people perish. And that's why we lost so many key leaders and even pastors during COVID. There was more frustration or the desire to just come up with a formula instead of really press into the Lord. Here's a saying that I've adopted. It's not original to me, but let me share it. A man without a vision is a man without a future. And a man without a future will always return to his past.
That's good.
And we don't want to return to our past. We've been delivered from our past. People have been delivered. That's why different ones, wherever they would be, whatever state, wherever in our city, they've messed up. So we want to see people discipled. We want to see people serving God, in love with God. You know, it really, it's a new wineskin emerging, Jim. And it's going to look different from city to city. I get that. But yet there are some correlations and some things that would relate to all of us. The church is morphing into how it can be effective in this hour. And it's going to take pastors really praying the price, paying the price, believing in the Lord and his hand upon them with the vision that he's given them. You know, let me say this in closing. People often ask me, you know, in the community or wherever, how are you doing? And I say, and I'll tell them, I'm doing good, but I'm also struggling because some people are having it hard. Some people aren't doing good. So I say I'm doing mostly good, but because I love people and some of them aren't doing good, I carry those people with me. I carry them. We're leading people who are not having a perfect day. And the privilege and the responsibility of us as pastors in leadership, it's carrying a weight. It is carrying a weight. But God's grace is there for us. And if we'll press in, man, he'll help you just have the greatest time in your life as we maneuver through all these new changes that have taken place.
Yeah. Well, Mark, every time I'm around you, I feel like I'm a better pastor whenever I'm done. You draw the motivation that caused me to become a pastor in the first place. You fuel that every time I'm around you. And I want to thank you for doing that today. Those are such good things.
My privilege.
And it really does come back to vision. And I think for me right now, I'm really motivated. And this is why I'm motivated in this season. This is the last thing I'll say. And I'm going to have Mark close us in prayer. Mark, if that's okay, in just a minute. But I'm motivated because I see that the big picture is really an erosion of godliness in our culture.
Yes.
There's been
a
scattering that's rooted in the erosion of godliness. And we're going to talk about that in our webinar in 2 weeks. And it's almost like when a hurricane comes, the shore's different. You know, if you walk on the shore, it's different after a hurricane. Yeah. It'll change the shore. And what happened is we've had a little bit of a hurricane of secularism and materialism. All these things have hit us. And our church has been scattered a little bit. Our generations have been scattered. And I recognize I'm not a 35-year-old anymore. I'm not a 30-year-old. But what we're going to do next, we're going to have to coach a new generation to really begin to reach out to a scattered, broken generation. And that motivates me. And I know it motivates those of you who are listening to me, too. And I look forward to talking about how we can do that. Because the challenge is COVID, but the challenge is bigger than COVID.
But absolutely,
I just believe in what God's word says. And I'll say this last thing. When Fred Markert shared his thing about, you know, bipolar and multipolar and all that kind of stuff, my son Jeffrey said, but Dad, let's never forget that the church grew the fastest in the middle of the persecution of the first three centuries.
That's right.
So it wasn't the government supporting the church. It was just the quality of church that was changing the world. And I think God has that up his sleeve in this hour. And I look forward to talking together and having fellowship together so we can bring out what's in our heart that God's put in there. So, Pastor Mark, would you go ahead and close?
It'd be my honor. Lord, I just pray for everyone who's watching or who will watch this webinar, Father, that they would be encouraged that you have a call on their life. You have a mandate on their life, and that as they connect to you and connect to your heart, you're going to speak to them and give them creative direction and insight, methods, ways and means, Father, to reach their people in-house, those watching online, those that are bound by concern or caution or fear, that they're going to have joy in the midst of it, that they're going to celebrate every small win. And Father, they will be so encouraged that they'll just be able to go and just radiate the love of God to each person they touch. Would you bless their life, Father, their marriages, their children, their grandchildren? May the joy of the Lord be their strength. Father, I just pray that Significant Church can be a blessing to every one of them. And for what they receive, Father, through the relationships that can be established through this organization, they will grow in you and their potential will just continue to reach more for the kingdom of God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, man, it was great being with you guys today, and just pray great blessing on your weekend.
Amen. Bye-bye.